Boomer in the Morning, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the Morning, brought to you by ATB Financial, your home ice advantage. Celebrate your rink's unsung hero and nominate them for ATB's Home Ice Hero Award worth $5,000. Learn more at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
How we doing? 6 o'clock on your Monday morning. I'm back. Good to be back. Busy show today, as most Mondays tend to be. The first hour, she jam. We're gonna do some. We're gonna do the hockey report coming up. We've also got the Pinder report. We've got Jason Lack and Fora. 7 o'clock, we got Dude. We're going to do some Elliot Freeman as well, but good to have you along. Back in studio, good to see your smiling face, Ryan Pinder.
Am I smiling? I guess.
Well, no, but I'm...
Welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah.
What was it like when they opened the door on the plane? You land at YYC, they open the door, and it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. That was like the most horrifying experience. As much as you want to be home, there's that.
Wanted to be home, but remember... I run hot, right?
You one of those weirdos that wears shorts at like -5 in the winter?
I can do that. That's no
really?
Problem. Yeah, I run hot. Bill, do you run hot?
Are you 100%.
Yeah.
So what are you saying? Big calved men run hot?
I don't know.
Bill's got some calves on him too.
You know, -5, -10, depending. -10 is probably pushing it, but a hoodie and shorts, good to go.
I can roll with that.
Are you guys in the Marathons? This is crazy. Shorts and minus something?
I just, it was very hot and muggy, and I was just tired of pit stains and swass, you know? Being in Mexico is okay when you're just in the pool or laying around in a swimsuit, whatever you call it now, trunks. Swim trunks. But when you got to be dressed and you're doing stuff, the last day when we're getting ready for the flight, let's just get on the plane. Just get me on the plane. But it was good. We got away. I think everybody had a good time. Apparently the liquor was free because I saw a lot of it. It seemed to be flowing in regularity. But it sounds as though it's the first of what might be a few trips to Mexico with Marlin Travel.
Very good. No, how are the crowds for the games? Because, of course, this was sold as the Flames will be playing, but you won't miss the game. You can watch it from the beach or from the bar or whatever.
We owned the lobby bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was full. Everybody made their way out. I was not there that afternoon, but apparently they came out en masse for the Stamps game against the Eskimos. Ooh. 2 weeks ago, or
right.
Whatever it was, last weekend. But no, it was good. Sat around, had some cocktails, watched the big hockey games.
How's our boy Rhett going to be today?
Oh, he's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
He was a little hot. I picked him up and then dropped him off. Pulled up to his house, and of course it had snowed while we were away. Apparently no one in the household elected to grab a shovel.
That'll happen.
So the walk to the front door, the driveway, clearly people have been walking in and out.
Right, a lot of foot traffic.
Mm-hmm. Not so much of it working to shovel the walk.
Well, it's funny because it seems like when you walk on it, it's even harder to shovel. It gets like packed down.
Yeah.
It's like if you just shoveled it right away, it would have been way easier. Now it's going to be a lot of work.
So he was, his state of relaxation and, before he walked in the front door.
Snap already. Yeah. Ah, these stupid kids.
See, now I'm livid. Before he even got in. But no, he's fine. He'll be in today.
Well, that sounded like fun. So good on you for making it a success. And hopefully that means we got more of them in the future.
The Calgary Flames, they too are home after a somewhat of a fruitless road trip.
Less successful than our trip to Mexico,
yes,
I would suggest.
They win. Well, they lose again against the Anaheim Ducks. They get a point against the Arizona Coyotes. And then get... pretty much ran roughshod the next night against the San Jose Sharks.
I had the distinct pleasure of hosting from Shank South on Saturday against the Sharks. Overtime was a bit of a doozy.
Yeah. The call-in show.
There was no overtime in the game. Not even close. That was why people were pissed.
5-2 final. Sharks win it.
you said it before, and I don't know how many times you can say it, but 5-2 flattering the team losing, that's saying something.
Is that fair?
I thought so.
Like, that's pretty easy.
There was, you know, there were some people that were very complimentary about their thirds, and my thought was, well, if you were up 4-0, what would your game look like in the third?
Yeah.
You know, this thing's over. Like, let's not get injured. Let's play our fourth line and our third pairing.
Yeah. Hey, Flames outshot them 10-6 in the third. Well, they were kind of keeping a four-run lead intact.
And to that point, who cares? It was over.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Thornton, you gonna play in the third? Get in your street clothes? See you at practice tomorrow. Good stuff, bud. Yeah. Good game tonight.
For those that missed it, now that we've really kind of got you revved up for it and got you excited for it, we always, after a game, like to revisit. It's time now for the Game in a Minute.
Game in a Minute, brought to you by Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC. Serving Calgary for new or pre-owned vehicles. See how easy the car buying experience can be at Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC.
Tonight, live from SAP Center in San Jose, California, it's a Saturday night fight between the Sharks and the Calgary Flames. Russell clears it away, not out. Dillon keeps it, and he gets it to Hurdle, who shoots and scores. Tomas Hurdle with a sharp-angle shot from Jonas Hiller's left, and he sneaks the puck past the Flames goaltender. Here's Burns to the far corner to Thornton, who drops to Pavelski. Pavelski centers, and they score! Joe Pavelski with a perfect pass to Joel Ward, who one times one between the legs of Jonas Hiller. Here's Pavelski, high slot. Barlow shoots and scores! Down by 2 goals in the game. The Flames down by 2 men on the ice. The Sharks score 5-on-3. Joel Ward making it 3-0, and then they score 5-on-4. Patrick Marleau makes it 4-0 for the Sharks. Giordano up the near side to Brody. He moves it ahead to Granlund, who steps in and shoots and scores! A wicked wrist shot by Marcus Granlund! And the Flames get on the scoreboard and cut the Sharks' lead to 4-1. It's Jones. David knocks it down to a bounces front. They score! The puck ricochets out in front of the Sharks' net. It appeared to bounce off the goaltender, Martin Jones, and in. And the clock rolls down to 0. Flames fall by a final score of 5-2 in this game against the Sharks and finish this 3-game road trip through the Pacific Division with an 0-2-1 record.
Game in a Minute, brought to you by Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC. Serving Calgary for new or pre-owned vehicles. See how easy the car buying experience can be at Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC.
So there you go. Again, shots on goal, 29-27. It was Martin Jones getting the victory for the Sharks, 25 saves. The shot by Granlund was a good one. The goal by Ferland happened to be, as you heard, it even kind of fooled Derek. It just kind of popped out at the side of the net. He bangs it in. But I'm with you. You get 2 goals essentially in the final 10 minutes of the third period. One team's up 4-0. They're in cruise mode. Hey, it's great for Granlund. Gets his first of the season. That's what you want from him.
Ditto for Ferland.
For Ferland. I would say all things considered for Granlund, 13 minutes, gets a goal. The one knock against him during his previous stints at the NHL level has been his ability on the faceoffs. He was 5 wins, 2 losses for 71%.
That's awesome.
It's not a ton of work, but still, that's an encouraging sign for him.
Yeah, and he'd only played 6 minutes and 12 seconds in Arizona, which was more dictated less to do with his play and more with all the special teams. There was a ton of power play penalty kill action in that game, which kept them on the bench.
Hmm.
That's a bright spot, I suppose. Not many.
Not many, indeed. The road trip is over. The homestand begins. We'll talk more in depth on this team. To spend a lot of time in looking at this game, one, it's from a couple days ago, and two, it was not a very good one. 52% in the faceoffs. That's about it. The penalty kill power play issue that plagues this team plagued them again. The power play was 0-for-3, and their penalty kill, Sharks had 2 opportunities and scored on both.
0-for-3 and 0-for-2.
Yeah. So that's going in the wrong direction. We talked about how does this team start to find a way. Well, your special teams can be a big boost, But certainly when you put up those numbers, it's gonna end up being a 5-2 game in a hurry.
Yeah, or you need your goalies to start playing better, and it was not the return to the lineup after a month away for Jonas Hiller that many had hoped for. Just another night where you needed, what, 6 to win this time.
Five goals and 29 shots in the return of Jonas Hiller. Right now, 10 after 6, we will break and come back with the hockey report. It's a busy one. One whole game in the NHL last night. I hope we have the time. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning. Ryan Pinder. The Jim Rome Show. Steinberg on Hockey Central. The Big Show with Rob Kerr. And every game for your Flames. We are Calgary Sports all the time. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Get in on the conversation now. Text the show at 960-960. Boomer in the morning. Only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning. Brought to you by ATB Financial. Your home ice advantage. Nominate your community's unsung hero for ATB's Home Ice Hero Award at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
We're 14 minutes now after 6 o'clock on your Monday. Boomer along with Ryan Pinder. We got Bill sitting in for Jason DeForest. The other Jason will join us coming up in about 15-20 minutes. Lack and Fora, NFL Insider. The old fan feedback line is open. This one here. Welcome back, buddy. I wonder, can the sports world start respecting the Carolina Panthers now? Probably not. Yeah, you're probably right. I think they're, you look at the Patriots, how do they lose? Well, it was bad weather and another injury to Gronk this time. He leaves a football game. And if you were to replay that game five more times, how many times will the Broncos win? What does that have to do with the Carolina Panthers? Very little. However, I can't help but look at the teams the Panthers have beaten and wonder. Okay, well, it's impressive. You don't fluke your way to a perfect season at this point. However, it hasn't been a bunch of world beaters that they've gotten by. Wasn't it? It was Dallas Thursday, right?
Yeah, it was Dallas Thursday. Awful team.
Awful team.
I had Carolina number one in my power rankings last week, which seemed absurd. The Patriots hadn't lost since week 17 last year, but they had lost heading into this week three of their top four receiving targets. Now Gronk's health is in question. It could be season ending. It could be he's back next week. We're waiting for news on that. He was carted off, but it was late. So we really don't know. But if he's gone, that is your top four targets for Tom Brady. And as good as they are at fill in, next man up, replace him with a guy on the practice roster and you're fine, you cannot win with the roster they have if Gronk isn't on it. It's that simple. I mean, you can win a couple games. You might be able to be a home team in the playoffs. Maybe you get a bye, but you're not a Super Bowl team without Gronk, without Edelman, without Amendola for the short term, without Deion Lewis as that third down back. I think Carolina's full marks are the best team in the league right now.
And you have Gronk on your fantasy team. I'll trade you Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, I hear he's dead as well.
So. What? Yeah. Why don't we right now talk a little bit of hockey with the Hockey Report?
Boomer's Hockey Report brought to you by Northwest Acura. Little cold this morning? Warm up first with Acura's bi-directional remote starter system. Check out the newly renovated dealership at northwestacuracalgary.com.
The NHL giving most of their teams the night off. Just one matchup, Detroit home to the Florida Panthers. The Panthers have fared pretty well, actually, in Detroit over the last span of time. They'll now face each other a little bit more frequently that Detroit is in the East. Terrible giveaway early, puts it on the tape for Dylan Larkin, scores his 10th. Riley Smith ties it in about 5 to go in the third period. So we got a tie game. They go to a 3-on-3.
Campbell's got it with a lead pass on the wing for Jonathan Huberdeau.
Late guy.
There he is. Campbell, the shot. He scores! The late guy, Brian Campbell, ends it. As the Florida Panthers come back and beat the Red Wings.
You got to watch the trailer. That trailer, he's the most dangerous guy in the ice. That's what I've been told. Dirty. 30 saves for Peter Mrazek in the loss. Bobby Lou, 28 saves. As the Panthers beat the Detroit Red Wings. That's the only game from last night. We'll talk a little bit later. Jonathan Bernier's having a hell of a time in Toronto, loses again on the weekend. He's 0-8-1 on the season with an .888 save percentage, a 3.28 goals against, and there's some mild talk that do you put this guy on waivers with the hopes of sending him down, because Mike Babcock, not a fan, and it seems like doesn't want him around. They're going to go with Garrett Sparks against the Oilers tonight, and I would think if young man plays well, you got to wonder if it's going to spell the end here pretty quick for Bernier's Leaf.
Reimer's been all right. It hasn't been him the problem, but Bernier's been a dog. The problem there is you owe this guy, what, $5 million, $4 million next year?
One more.
There's another year of term, and it's not cheap.
4.15.
Yeah, like that's significant money. No one's going to claim this guy. If you want him to go to the A, that's not going to be a problem. But do you roast any sort of value that might be there? I don't know if there's any left.
They're already, they got buyouts already, or at least they're keeping money on a couple players already, Phil Kessel being one of them. So I don't know if they were to make a trade, if they were somehow able to get rid of this guy, how much money they can retain.
I think they have one more salary they can eat money on, and I think they'd like it to be Dion Phaneuf's, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So that's kind of the long and short of it. We'll hear from John Tortorella a little bit later on. He can't stand Pittsburgh. He does not. It's personal when it comes to Torts.
He's in fine form. He's settling in. Good to see him back.
He really is. It's great to see him back. I'm very happy about it. Well, you know, he doesn't.
It is what it is. We're not going to whine here. Pittsburgh can whine. Pittsburgh whines enough for the whole league, so there's no room for any other team to whine. So we just go about our business, and we missed him. We missed him. But you can't get involved in what happened in those type of situations. I thought our guys focused.
All right, so that's...
I love it so much, because he's asked a question. It doesn't have anything to do with Pittsburgh, but he goes out of his way to mention that no one in the league can even whine, because there's no room left. Pittsburgh has taken all the whining.
Yeah, like no more can't whine.
Pittsburgh can whine. Pittsburgh whines enough for the whole league, so there's no room for any other team to whine.
And it's not the first time he's taken runs at Pittsburgh either. We'll get into that later on. But for now, that is a look at the Hockey Report.
Boomer's Hockey Report, brought to you by Northwest Acura. Leave ice skating to the pros. Acura's super handling all-wheel drive will keep you safe on the road. NorthwestAcuraCalgary.com.
We're at 20 after 6. Time to jump out here, but we'll come back. Ryan Pinner going to get you caught up with what you need to know. The CFL season is over. The NFL, some potentially key injuries. Listen, we're airing it. It's an awful Monday nighter coming up tonight. I won't even try and convince you. Sunday nighter, very good. Monday nighter, And the Calgary Flames getting set to open up a 5-game homestand tomorrow against the Dallas Stars. All that coming up inside the Pinder Report. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan. 960 on the AM band. Streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. And always on the Rogers Radio app. Talking Calgary sports around the world. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Sportsnet 960 Mornings with Boomer in the Morning. On Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960.
Boomer and Warner in the Morning, brought to you by ATB Financial, your home ice advantage. Know someone whose quiet hard work makes hockey happen in your community? Nominate them for ATB's Home Ice Hero Award at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Yeah. 6:28 Monday morning. We got Jason Lacanfora coming up shortly. The Patriots' perfect season is over. One unbeaten team remains. It's the Carolina Panthers. Do they deserve more credit? We'll ask Mr. Lacanfora, and I'm sure he'll have his thoughts on the Broncos' win last night, as he had kind of called it. Not so much called it, but he said, hey, you know what? This going from Manning and where he's at right now in his career to Brock Osweiler is not as devastating a dip as you might suspect.
Well, it's an improvement. Manning had led the league in turnovers. I mean, he was saying if you just get a game manager in there, that defense will give you enough, you can win some games.
Happened last night. Right now, it's time for the Pinder Report with Ryan Pinder. Good morning, Ryan. Good
morning, sir. Where do we start? Well, how about the Flames? That or the Grey Cup? It's up to you.
Let's
I feel like for tradition's sake, it's the Flames. But yes, the Grey Cup was yesterday. We'll start with the Grey Cup. The 2015 CFL season has come to an end. The Edmonton Eskimos, your 103rd Grey Cup champions, 26-20 over the Ottawa Red Blacks. The Red Blacks had one of the all-time great starts in Grey Cup history. They score in the opening drive before recovering a fumbled kick return, promptly taking that one to the house. They're up 13-0, less than 6.5 minutes into this contest. But after that, it was the game we all thought we would see. It was not even close. The Eskimos outscored Ottawa 26-7 from that juncture. Here's Edmonton coach Chris Jones on his pivot, Mike Riley.
Osweiler under center, toss play.
Oh, what?
That's not my...
Whoopsie.
The Riley with Mike Riley.
That
the,
sounded like a...
Is this Mike Riley?
You know, you saw there at the end of the game, he took over the game. Hit a little spurt there around the end of the third, early fourth, where, you know, he was kind of getting a little antsy to get out. He got a little pressure a couple of times, you know, and he was getting out a little quick. He calmed down, and then again, once we got the lead, you know, he senses that the game's in his control. He took over the game.
He really was good. I was impressed with his ability to get out of the pocket when needed.
I love Chris Jones's voice.
Yeah, I can do without his no handshakes and being a jerk, but that accent can hang around. That's all right with me. Eskimos wide receiver Shamon Chambers was named the most outstanding Canadian of the game. He had 49 receiving yards, including a 32-yard reception. Riley was fantastic. Eskimos beat the Red Blacks 26-20. Got to tip your hat to the Eskimos. Tough to argue they weren't the best team in the league. They beat Calgary 3 of 4 contests after losing on Labor Day. They've won all the other ones, including a big one up in Commonwealth Stadium about 8 days ago. That was the only real competition in the West. Riders were awful. Blue Bombers were the Blue Bombers. Lions were not good. A 7-win playoff team. And kudos to the Red Blacks. They've gone from laughingstock expansion team with all caps to legit football team. Pretty quick turnaround. One season awful, year two, great cup. But you can't help but wonder if this wouldn't have been a better Sunday if Hamilton had kept one of their recognizable quarterbacks healthy this season. It was the result we were all expecting. It just took a little longer to turn out that way. With the Eskimos taking over. It wasn't even close. I mean, after the 6:09 mark, when it was 13-0 Ottawa, this was all green and gold. The Ottawa Red Blacks did not get into the end zone after that. Question is, did Grey Cup 103 grip either of you two, who are born and bred Canadians from the prairies around the age of 40? This should be right in the meat and potatoes of the CFL demographic.
I watched it. I watched the halftime show. I respect that it's the Grey Cup. I don't have a rooting interest really in it one way or the other. It's the Grey Cup. It's a Grey Cup without your team in it.
I don't respect nothing.
You don't respect nothing?
I'm just my own man.
Okay. Did you watch the game, Rat?
I don't respect nothing.
That means he respects everything. Yeah. Right? It's very confusing.
I watched the start and the end. Missed the middle portion of when you said that Edmonton just cleaned him up.
Well, yeah. So you're stunned this morning that the Eskimos won the Grey Cup?
No, because
he cut the
end. I watched
the end.
Yeah, I missed the middle part, but I was stunned to hear that it was all Edmonton because I was like, look at those Red Blacks.
Yeah,
really giving her.
No good.
And they had a chance.
Great start, and then didn't see the end zone again.
Their defense.
They were going to go every drive.
Red Blacks defense was good, gave them a chance, but the offense, not a lot there.
I'm sorry.
It was weird.
It didn't do anything for me.
No,
all year.
And did anyone have any sexy Grey Cup party invites? Obviously, like you got Shanks and places around town. They're going to host their fiestas, but I just felt no buzz in my network. No one was chasing me down. You got to get over to blah blah blahs for this. Like it was just there wasn't buzz about this game. And it's not because the Stampeders weren't there, because obviously if they were, the city'd be more excited. But this used to be the biggest TV event of the year in Canada every single year. It's not even close anymore. I was more excited to tune into the Sunday Nighter.
I think if you had, I think it's kind of a product of the season.
Agreed.
Because I agree with you. If Zach Collaros is healthy, I think Hamilton is no fun. I think even if Ricky Ray plays the full season, I think he's all right. If Darian Durant doesn't go down, oddly enough, right? I really think that's a different Rider team. Lule goes down. It was a bad year.
It was a bad year. And I think it was tough for people to get invested back into the league when all those eyeballs on Jays games, that ended, it was like, oh, this league's still going? Because normally that's where everyone's eyes were. They weren't there this summer.
And I don't even feel like this is a situation where, wow, the season's too long. What are we playing? I think people would have been fine to watch a very good football game yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not concerned. I mean,
it's not like I had a ton of other things. Oh, it's we got to play this earlier. Not this year.
Earlier is not going to help it.
No.
Saturday might help it. I'll tell you that. Yeah. Whew. Get into that later on. NFL, Patriots no longer undefeated.
Osweiler under center. Toss play. Left side. Anderson looking for a block. First down and more. Breaks the tackle at the 40. Down the sideline. He's going to take it to the house. The Patriots are unbeaten no more. 48-yard touchdown run for C.J. Anderson. Broncos win it in overtime. 30-24 in the snow in Denver.
No time like overtime. C.J. Anderson looked very good last night in the slop. A victory for Denver. Brock Osweiler was great. And huge concerns for the Patriots in what was a great game. They lose Gronk late, carted off the field. We're waiting for news on the severity of his injury. Patriots, no longer undefeated. Just Carolina alone with that perfect mark of 11-0. Other NFL highlights from yesterday, Seattle 39-30 winners over the Steelers. That's a big win for the Seahawks. That gets them into a wild card. The Vikings pass the Packers for top spot in the NFC North. They handle the reeling Falcons 20-10. Houston and Indy both at 6-5, both playoff teams in a miserable AFC today at least. As for Kansas City, they beat Buffalo. They're into a playoff spot. And the Redskins are a playoff team at 5-6. Yes, they beat the Giants yesterday. They now hold the lead in the miserable NFC East. Monday nighters got the Ravens and the Browns. Guys, there are not a lot of good football teams. You look at some of these playoff teams, they are awful. Like, are you Houston a playoff team? Indy a playoff team? Okay, someone's got to win that division. Washington a playoff team? Ooh.
It's a lot of 6-5 out there.
I watched that game a little bit. It was terrible.
Which game?
The Giants and the Skins.
Yeah, well... Ugh. I don't know. Monday Nighter does not hold much more inspiration. It'll be the Ravens and the Browns, who collectively have, let's do the math here.
Five wins. Yeah.
Five wins. We've got that one for you tonight. 6 o'clock pregame, 6:30 kickoff on your home of all things NFL, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Jay's news late Friday. They signed Jay Happ to a $36 million three-year deal. That leaves a rotation in decent shape in terms of depth. It probably goes Stroman, Estrada, Happ, Dickey, Chavez, Hutchison, and that, of course, doesn't include perhaps the option of moving Osuna and or Sanchez from the bullpen to the starting rotation. A lot of dough for Happ. It probably means David Price isn't coming to Toronto. That's going to hurt fans in the heart, but it's going to help the team in terms of not committing $250 million to a guy who's going to be over 30 for the bulk of the deal. Thoughts?
Who's the Lou Duva? Is that his name?
Tony LaCava.
Lead. Yeah.
Lucas
Pisa.
Yeah.
Is that him? Yeah.
So it basically, Anthopoulos trades them away, and now Duva's just going to bring them all back.
Duva? LaCava. Come on. Chavez was in their organization. They brought him back from Oakland, and now ditto for Jay Happ. Although Anthopoulos did this too. He had Hendricks traded and brought him back. It's baseball.
Look forward to the Colby Rasmus 2.0 in Toronto. It's going to be great.
I don't know if they need another outfielder. Calgary Hitmen had a light weekend. They picked up a point in an overtime loss on Friday to the Regina Pats. 4-3 the final there. They've got points in 8 straight, 7-0-1, and yet third in the Central Division. Lethbridge on a roll. They've won 4 in a row. That's where Calgary's at next on Wednesday before returning home to host PA on Thursday. And in sports that Boomer hates...
This has been Boomer Hates Sports, only on Sportsnet 960.
All right.
What?
The Raptors lose to the Suns last night. Kobe Bryant saying goodbye. Rhett, you're going to miss him. This will be his last NBA season. And not sure if you caught this on the weekend. Leicester's Jamie Vardy scores again. That's 11 straight games in the Premier League.
What?
Unbelievable run breaking. Ruud van Nistelrooy's BPL record. There you are.
The Netherlands.
That's where he's from.
Ruud
van Nistelrooy. Yeah. Nope.
Do I get any points for that?
You do. Ruud is Dutch.
Lou Duva, by the way, is a former boxing manager.
Okay.
Which is
thank
why
you.
I
appreciate
that, name. That. And speaking of boxing.
Does he look like Tony LaCama?
What's his name? Fury versus Vladimir Klitschko fight this weekend.
The British belt now.
How was it?
Fury beat him.
Shut up.
Bet 220,000 pounds on himself to win. won the fight.
I thought he was going to get
dummy. New champion, 15-0.
It was that weird time messed me up.
Yeah, it was, because it was
middle of the afternoon.
Yeah. Was it over in Europe, right?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Indeed.
The Fury. I think that's his real name. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It's a good name, I'll tell you that.
And apparently, according to Vladimir Klitschko, he's still suffering. I still don't believe I actually lost.
So was it not a knockout?
It was not. I think it was a unanimous decision is what it ended up
being. Those two big beasts went all the way?
It's boxing. Half of it's not getting hit, right?
How big are these two? That's 6'9". Yeah, we'll get into it. But either way, I think 5 belts. Dude won 5 belts. Just pretty good.
5.
No.
Good for the sport, though, when someone from England, jolly old England's got the belt. Seem to like it when they're on top.
Were you going to say something?
I was asking where he was from, to be honest.
Well, there you go.
Sure. How about that?
There you have it. That's the Pinder Report. Thank you, Ryan. Good as always. Great stuff. We'll break here because standing by to join us is Jason Lackenfor, our NFL insider. His thoughts on the Patriots minus Gronk, minus Edelman, minus down the line. Is that the final straw that broke the camel's back, or is it, come on, it's Tom Brady and the Patriots. What are you thinking? Plus all of these storylines going through NFL when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Calgary's home for great sports talk and Flames play-by-play. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Rise and shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning, brought to you by ATB Financial, your home ice advantage. Celebrate your rink's unsung hero and nominate them for ATB's Home Ice Hero Award worth $5,000. Learn more at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Making our way towards 7 o'clock right now, 6:44. Boomer and Warner in the morning along with Ryan Pinder. We'll get Elliot Friedman on in 1 hour from now. So, set the date or do whatever you got to do. Get your phone ready. Put the alarm in there because an hour from right now, we are going to chat with our NHL insider. Right now, our NFL insider.
Sportsnet 960's NFL insider Jason Lackenfora is brought to you by Shanks. Monday Night Football tonight at Shanks as the Cleveland Browns take on the visiting Baltimore Ravens. 395 wings and 550 Bud Light draft. Shanks Sports Grill, Calgary's NFL headquarters.
Want to start, Jason, with that Sunday nighter. Pretty good football game. We get to overtime and the first loss of the season for the New England Patriots. But I was thinking of you the whole time watching because you were talking, while people are, Peyton Manning, when's he going to be back? You were one of the first guys, I think, on the record saying, hey, listen, this guy's better. Peyton may as well be done because his best is behind him and they're going to be able to manage things better with this guy.
Yeah, and it's not just about the pass game. I think people forget how the placement of the quarterback and the perceived mobility of the quarterback and the ability of the quarterback to move the pocket, what a huge role all of that plays in Gary Kubiak's run game, and that's supposed to be the bread and butter of this team. They brought Kubiak in because of that run game because they knew Peyton Manning was near the end. Now, Peyton didn't want to do it, couldn't do it, didn't like being under center at all. Well, when he's in shotgun or he's in pistol, that changes the complete tenor and nature of what they want to do with their run action. It takes it away. And Peyton can't move the pocket, and he can't boot. He didn't like to do it, and understandably so. But it doesn't mean that this still can't be a much better functional offense all the way around with somebody else in there who can do it and who does have a little bit of mobility and can make you worry when he waggles out there what he's going to do with the ball. And he does bring defenders with him, and he does open things up for other people. And after doing pretty much nothing all year, I think the last 2 weeks, Hillman and C.J. Anderson have combined for like almost 350 yards and like 4 touchdowns. So that is their offense. And the quarterback just don't mess it up. Well, he has 1 turnover in his last 2 games. Peyton was averaging 2 picks per game. So it's just it's a completely different template. And the defense is good, and maybe they get wear back. They lost a couple safeties yesterday. That obviously hurts. We'll have to see how long T.J. Ward in particular is out for. But this is who they want to be, and this is who they are now, and there's no reason to go back. And we're going to see in a couple weeks, you know, Peyton has been kind of, right, he didn't show up to the first game, and then he didn't watch that game from the sidelines, and that's fine. You know, that boot will be off in a couple weeks, then he's going to want to play. And that's when it comes to a head, and that's when somebody's going to tell him no for the first time in his professional life.
Wow. And you know what? If that was a statement win for the Broncos, how devastating was the loss for New England, especially given that Gronk was carted off late?
Yeah, I think it's more the actual physical carnage than the loss. I mean, look, were they driven to win in another game and go undefeated and 19-0 all the way through, or 20-0, whatever it turns out to be? Sure, but they know just how difficult that is from personal experience. And the chances are they were going to lose a game somewhere along the line. And let's face it, they've been the first eight, wins compared to the last three or games or whatever, it's been a lot different, right? They barely got by the Giants. They barely got by the Bills. We've been talking about it for weeks. The attrition was catching up to them. So losing a game always stings. But you could just tell as that game wore on which team had more depth. You know, for 2.5 quarters, the Broncos really were barely staying on the field with the Patriots. But that's not when the game ends. And from the middle of the third quarter into overtime, there was really one team playing, and the other team starting to cling for dear life because they couldn't stop the run game, and they were wearing out, and they were running out of bodies at key positions again. And they didn't have anybody to throw the ball to, and they were stacking the line against LeGarrette Blount, and it just sort of was what it was. Now, moving forward, look, they're going to have to go into a different mode for the next month. And it's going to be about managing people's health. They've got a 4-game lead, right? They've won 10 games. Nobody else in the division's won more than 6. What, the Jets have won 6? They're going to win that division, and they're going to host a home playoff game no matter what. They've got to fight for the bye, but the number one seed isn't as important. And if they get the bye, the Gronk injury, I think, is going to be, he may miss a week or two, from what I'm hearing, pending an MRI, but shouldn't be a long-term absence. They still are hopeful Amendola's back, if not next week, the week after. Jamie Collins is week to week. I think he's back next week. Hightower, I'm sure they'll take every precaution with his knee, but that looks like an MCL sprain in the maybe in the range of 2 to 3 weeks and not more. And then Edelman, they hope, is back for the start of the playoffs after a bye. So could this be a team that it gets a little rocky? They simplify things. They just kind of muddle through and bide some time until the playoffs. It certainly could be. The hard charging, let's blow everybody out and try to win every game. Not that they still don't want to win, but they've really got to manage that roster now. And it's going to be about seeing what some of these depth players can do and giving them an opportunity and seeing if one or two new targets emerge for Brady in case Edelman's not ready and in case Amendola gets hurt again.
Seattle moves into a wild card with their victory over Pittsburgh. That was a big victory for them, and all of a sudden, all the troubles they've had doesn't really matter. They're 6-5 and looking like a playoff team.
Yeah, and I've been kind of saying for a while here, look, you can't write these guys off, and things are going to be kind of muddled and are going to be up in the air for a while in terms of wild card situations. And in this year where we have not seen many teams grab the bull by the horns, who's going to do it in late November or December and pull away? Is it going to be Tampa? Is it going to be Minnesota? Is it going to be Philadelphia? Or is it going to be Seattle? Of that sort of middling group, or the Bears? Who has the best pedigree? Well, Seattle. Who's been down this road before? Who has that experience? Who can flick that switch when they have to? You would think it's Seattle. Now, they've got to clean some things up. They're lucky they got the 4 interceptions. And I say lucky. A couple of them. The one ball slipped out of Ben's hand. I thought, they made some great plays on the ball too. But the only way they stopped the Steelers all day long was with picks. They threw for almost 500 yards. They tore that secondary apart. They didn't even try to run the ball in the second half. They just attacked, what used to be the best secondary in the NFL. They're going to have to figure that out. They now have to play without Jimmy Graham for the rest of the year. And he made some huge plays in that game. And he's a guy who, say what you want about his production level with them, is still a unique weapon with a size, speed, skill quotient that not many people, frankly, in the world have. So they got a big game against Minnesota this week. If they can grind that out, they're right there, And Arizona was a big win. Had Arizona slipped up there against the 49ers, and you know, I don't know that they were the better team yesterday, but they certainly found a way to win. Then all of a sudden, maybe the door would be pried open a little bit more for a wild Seattle scramble for the division. But if Seattle gets in, you have to fear them, you know? Let's face it, if they get in and play the winner of the NFC East, Washington, I mean, I know Washington's been good at home this year, but I think they'd like their chances, you know? So I haven't given up on the Seahawks. I won't give up on the Seahawks. Russell Wilson's been incredible the last 2 weeks. He plays best when the chips are down. And, you know, if they can scratch one out against Minnesota, they're all the more formidable.
Jason Lackenfor, our NFL insider here on Boomer and Warner in the Morning. I asked you on Thursday, I guess it was, your thoughts on the best 6-5 team, 5-6 team. And all of a sudden, they may not make the playoffs in the end, or they may not get much done in the playoffs, but you almost have to tip your cap. The Houston Texans, they looked like they didn't know how to play football at one point during this season. They've won 4 in a row. The Colts, without luck, they've won 3 in a row. You brought up Kansas City. They've won 5 straight. Minnesota, 4 of 5. There's some teams out there that don't have the best records on paper, but they're making some noise.
Yeah, Houston and Kansas City are the most intriguing to me. And I believe if the playoffs started today, they'd both be in. And Pittsburgh would now be out. And obviously there's a lot of time to go. What they've done defensively, I mean, these were two teams that if you watched them in the middle of October, you would say, what abject failures. Like, what? Wow. Like, they're just getting manhandled all over the place. You know, you had with Houston, you had J.J. Watt showing up. And with Kansas City, you know, you had the young corner Marcus Peters, and you had the defensive, you had the outside linebacker Justin Houston showing up, and really nobody else. And what they've done collectively to ratchet things down, and both quarterbacks. I mean, Alex Smith hasn't thrown an interception in like 270 attempts or something like that now. I mean, it's parts of 8 games. And Brian Hoyer on the year has a quarterback rating of nearly 100. He's played in 8 games, thrown for 2,000 yards with like 15 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, and no one even talks about the guy. It's like he doesn't exist because he got benched, you know, in the third quarter of the first game of the year. They've had a lot to do with the resurgence, and you have to take those teams, you know, pretty seriously right now. The Chiefs just keep running the ball. I mean, it was Spencer Ward last week, you know, because Kendrick West was hurt. Obviously, they lost Jamal Charles for the season weeks ago. Yeah, those teams still kind of stand out to me. Kansas City in particular, you know, they've got a real win streak going now. You know, and if Denver hadn't gone to Brock Osweiler, Kansas City, you know, if they'd stayed with Peyton Manning, Kansas City probably is headed to division title. You know, I mean, I think that's what people are probably missing, the whole equation. Like, if Dave Peyton just got his way and kept wearing the boot through the week and playing on Sunday and trying to gut it out, they're probably looking at a couple more losses, and Kansas City hasn't lost. The Chiefs have not lost since the Royals qualified for the World Series.
Wow.
The Philadelphia Eagles have lost 3 in a row. Chip Kelly, obviously the man in the hot seat. Does he survive this with the Eagles?
He survives unless he doesn't want to survive. He survives unless he takes his ball and goes home to college. I have not heard anything from my sources that ownership is pushing him out. They just gave him the entire building. They just recommitted to him, right? They committed to him 2 years ago and gave him everything just short of total power. He wins 20 games the first 2 years, doesn't want Howie Roseman as his GM anymore, doesn't want him involved in football operations at all other than contracts, and he wants final say of everything. All right, Chip, you got it. Like, this just happened, you know, 10, 11 months ago. This is a guy who's stuck by Jeffrey Lurie, the owner. Andy Reid, you know, people forget Andy Reid. Like, if you think it was all, you know, five championship games and all that, you know, it was pretty rough early on for Andy Reid. I mean, he was a coming out of nowhere. He wasn't even a coordinator. He was a position coach. He hitches his wagon to a young Donovan McNabb. You know, the first 3-4 years there, it wasn't all wine and cheese. But he was loyal. He wanted to prize continuity. And he ended up having one of the longer tenures with any team we've seen, you know, in the last 20, 25 years. So that's the goal for Jeffrey Lurie. He wants this to work. He's all in. He's more all in now than he even was 2 years ago when he doubled back 3 times to pry this guy out of Oregon. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want to just call it off now and have another coaching search. You got to remember, the guys they were talking to when Chip Kelly spurned them, it was Gus Bradley, Brian Billick, and Ken Whisenhunt. I mean, You know what I mean? That's where the Eagles were in the coaching pecking order. They weren't getting the A-list guys, again, until they went back to Chip Kelly and said, yes, you can hire your own personnel guy, and yes, we'll give you almost everything you want, and, you know, here's even more money and all that stuff. He doesn't want to go back to that, but Chip just might not be cut out for this. This might not be his bag. You can't control these millionaire adults the way you can these, in many cases, poverty-ridden teenagers. It's just a completely different dynamic. And it's not working here. And there's a lot of guys in that locker room who think most of his stuff is mumbo-jumbo. Now, does that mean they don't go out there and win next week and the Skins lose to Dallas and the Giants lose again and we're talking next week and the Eagles are in, you know, first place or a half a game out or whatever? All that could happen too. But he's going to have some decisions to make about his future in the next 2 weeks. College recruiting season kicks into high gear here very soon. If he's going to jump, he needs to jump in early December to give himself time to woo players to get a head start at his college job. Everybody would want him. USC, University of Texas, would they dump Charlie Strong if they thought they could bring him in? I think they would. I hear University of Miami is willing to spend way more on a head coach than they ever have before. I don't know how much you guys follow college football. There's like 10, you know, Georgia's got an opening. I mean, there's like 10 significant jobs open right now, with more to come as these coaches are fired in the coming days. I've never seen a landscape like that before. And he would be the alpha dog in that mix. So stay tuned. It'll be his call, though. If he leaves, it'll be because he don't want this.
Is it fair to just say, oh, look, I haven't had a quarterback, that's why I'm not having success in Philly, or are the problems much bigger?
Well, I'm sure he could say that, you know, and that's what Nick Saban said when it didn't work for him with the Dolphins. The difference is Rick Spielman was the GM there, and Rick Spielman and the medical staff failed Drew Brees in a physical. Hmm. Chip Kelly can't blame anybody else. Chip Kelly had close to full control the moment he walked in the door, and he had full control this year when his quarterback, Marcus Mariota, was available in the draft, and instead he made a stupid trade for Sam Bradford. You know, and it didn't flip the one he got for Bradford with his already existing one and some other stuff to move up and get Mariota. I mean, remember, when he got Sam Bradford, he couldn't wait to tell the world, I already had two teams offer me a first-round pick for Bradford. Well, you should have taken it and traded that pick and your pick and next year's pick and another pick and just gone and gotten your guy Mariota. But, you know, he's the one who wanted to keep Mike Vick in the building when he got there. He's the one who, you know, thought he could do it with Foles for a while there. He's the one who picked Sanchez. He's the one who traded for Bradford. He can't blame anybody else.
Good stuff as always, man. Good to talk to you. We'll catch up on Thursday, and do your best to enjoy the Monday Nighter.
Oh, boy, I live in Baltimore, and nobody wants to see that dog show.
There you go. Go Buck Allen. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you.
Yeah, right. See you guys.
You bet. There's Jason Lacken for our NFL Insider. 6 o'clock pregame, 6:30 kickoff. We've got it for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan as the Baltimore Ravens head into Cleveland to play the Browns.
I think you two will be paying attention to this.
Do
for
you
some
want to hear another little funny little tidbit, Pinder?
Sure.
So we had the situation with the goaltending in fantasy hockey, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Remember
yeah.
when he yeah.
Stole your guy?
Absolutely. Sewered me.
Yep.
Can you, okay, so well, clear it for people that don't know what you're talking about.
Rhett was talking about picking up a goalie, and Boone was
goalie.
In the room.
I
and
said, I'm going to pick up.
Snapped him up
Frederick
right
Anderson.
Before what,
and then something happened. I start talking to someone else. I click on the ad. He's no longer available. What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Boomer's Boomer. Calves.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what now?
So the other day, we're in Mexico.
Yeah.
And I said to him, you know, wow, Forsett broke his arm. I'm done. I guess I better go put in that claim for
Javorius
you,
Allen.
This is Buck absolute.
Allen. Let him finish.
This is absolute garbage.
Him and him,
yeah.
Knowing I didn't have internet connection anywhere.
Oh, what did I have?
Went and you had it in your room.
Liar.
Such a and he went and picked him up. And now he's going to beat me with him.
Well, this is the only thing I would
garbage.
Say is he was a waiver guy, wasn't he?
You know what he said?
So why don't you get your claim in?
He said,
because I didn't have internet and he knew
oh,
it.
Oh, this that's is, your fault.
This is
you
so.
Could have found internet if you needed
there
it.
There was no internet anywhere. He says, yo, geez, it's Tuesday. I wonder if I should put some waiver claims in. I'd already done waivers.
Yeah, so there you are.
From Jason DeForest, you did get straight sewered. Thank you.
You know what, Dean? It's your actions tell you a lot about
that does what kind of person volumes you have, about you know. People.
Well, I guess you're just a little quick, a little slow on the trigger there.
You're too trusting, hey? Maybe you're going to have to change your approach with your friends.
That's right.
And again, thanks for, I should pick up some waivers. That really tipped the hand for me. What?
Waivers?
What? Oh. We have waivers in fantasy football? 702 Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Flames are back home after their trip to Arizona and California. It's the Dallas Stars at the Dome on Tuesday night. Rogers Calgary Flames hockey hits the air and goes online at 6 p.m. Flames warm-up live from the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. Pat hosts with Peter and Derek. Play-by-play of the Flames and Stars goes at 7 p.m. Right after the game, it's post-game hockey talk and the overtime call-in show. Flames and Stars right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Rogers Calgary Flames hockey is brought to you in part by Shane Holmes and Shank Sports Grill.